Grace and peace are yours from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, how many of you remember this little science experiment I hope we all attempted, maybe on some carefree day in your past? I see some of you, your past might be more recent than others. You would plunge underwater with your friend in a pool or a lake, I suppose, and then you would shout something to them and rush back to the surface to ask excitedly, "What did I say? Could you hear it?" Have any of you done that? Did you do that experiment? Oh, thank goodness. All right. And of course they couldn't, right? At best, if the water was clear enough, they could use a combination of lip reading and guesswork, but they couldn't hear you, not even from inches away, not even if you screamed your loudest, which is what made it so fun. That underwater stillness was too heavy. It swallowed up the sound before it could even pass your lips. Silence, when it's deep enough, can do that to sound. Light and darkness do not work that way. No darkness can extinguish light, not the darkest depths of the ocean, nor the vast blackness of space. Indeed, the deeper the dark, the more easily we perceive even the faintest light. Did you know, and I assume you did, you're all above average people, that when we look up at the night sky, we can, with our naked eyes, see light from stars 4,000 light years away? Since none of you gasped, I'm guessing that you, like me, are totally incapable of comprehending the massiveness of a statement like that. Somewhere between my ears and my brain, it all just turns into like kind of meaningless, "Oh, that's very interesting." So let's for a moment try to have an experience of wonder together. One light year is roughly 6 trillion miles. So if you care to do so, hold your hands like this and imagine we've just put 1,000,000 miles into your hands. Now imagine scooping 6 million more million-mile handfuls, and then imagine doing the whole thing 4,000 times over. Some gasps there. I feel like we're still not getting it. So... For a more concrete reference, that is more than 1 mile per every grain of sand on Earth. If there were 3 Earths. Now we can feel the awe of that moment. This worked so much better than it did in the first two services. Look, my point is, when you look up tonight, that's how far some of the light journeyed before it came to you. Not even 24,000 trillion miles of darkness could overcome it. In the opening verses of John's Gospel, we are assured that just as darkness cannot overwhelm light, death cannot overwhelm life. It's a little bit of a journey to get there, even across just 5 verses. The author of John's Gospel wrote with the richness and density of a great poet. So, we are told that the Word, which is to say Christ, already was when the beginning of everything began. We are told that indeed all things were made through him, that without him nothing was made, which is to say, nothing was made apart from him, as in nothing exists beyond him, outside of his presence. And we are told that that which exists within him shares his life, which is the light that shines in the darkness. And you know the rest. the darkness has not overcome it. Are you still with me? If you could just like nudge your neighbors and wake them up a little bit. This is the gospel. This is the truth. But it certainly doesn't feel like it, not always at least. Is life really winning? Doesn't it just feel like there's so much death and despair shouting at us from every headline, from every glowing screen? Sometimes it seems like 24,000 trillion miles worth of death. And yet, Jesus Christ, the Word, through whom God spoke, or perhaps sang, all life into existence, stubbornly continues to meet us in the midst of death and remind us that he has from the very beginning staked his claim even there. Nothing, not even death, exists outside of his life, beyond his creative power. Well, what does that mean? I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean everything I want it to. It doesn't mean we're immortal, invincible, or invulnerable. Today, as we do every week, we paused for a moment to read the names of those in our church family who have passed before us into paradise. But this gospel means that they and we, when our time comes, are not drowned out, not swallowed up, not extinguished, not overcome, not even in death. Even there, we are in the arms of Jesus. Even there, we bask in the light of his glory and grace. I heard a story once about a man who was scared to die, as so many of us are. One day he was looking at one of his mother's baby pictures. She was in the arms of her parents, his grandparents. The man realized suddenly that this picture was of a world into which he had not yet been born, a world in which he did not exist. And then he was surprised at his emotional reaction. He felt no fear or anxiety. As he looked at that picture, he felt only peace and comfort and joy. There was so much love in that image. And his final realization, why should he feel any differently about the future when he would no longer exist in this world? Why should the time after his death hold for him any more terror than the time before his birth? Before you were here, your parents, your grandparents were here, and from their love, you came into being. And before them, your great-great-grandparents and your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents and so on and back and back until before grandparents at all. Back to the beginning of beginnings, when Christ already was. And his love for you was laid into the very foundations of space and time. There is nowhere you can go and be apart from that. So when you look up at night, and I encourage you to do that tonight, let those defiant stars remind you that darkness cannot overcome light. Death cannot overcome life. And Christ is with you always, before and after and always. Amen.